This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to visit with Chantal Scheming. Chantal is the head of public policy at Invitae. She's going to talk to us about a few of the big trends in public policy with genomics, with genetics, and they're trying to make genetic testing and research more affordable and more widespread. She's also going to touch with us on the recent completion of her PhD, which we congratulate her for. Chantal, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Yes, thank you so much for having me, Scott. As Scott said, I'm Chantal Scheming. I work at Invitae as head of public policy. I've spent 13 years in healthcare, and it's spanned across academic hospitals, integrated healthcare systems, and now a standalone laboratory. I'm excited to talk with you and the audience today also about my PhD in health services, which I just finished. And I want to highlight my career and education has always been rooted in my passion, which is around improving the greater population's health through enhancing our healthcare system performance and leadership.
And take a moment, tell us about Invitae, what Invitae is and what it does. Then I'm going to ask you about big trends in genetics and public policy.
Yes, I'm excited to share with you that I've joined Invitae, which is a medical genetics testing company, about a year and a half ago at this point. Their mission is to provide genetic testing as affordable and accessible to anyone who can benefit from it. And that's really true to my own passion of wanting to improve the healthcare of greater populations, and that's what drove me to Invitae. One of the things that I was horrified to admit is I was not aware how genetics really fits into population health and health system performance until I learned about Invitae. You know, as a healthcare administrator for so many years and being in health systems for 13 years and realizing it was a blind spot that I had, and it is a misconception that genetic testing is just too costly. And there's a lot of evidence that incorporating genetic information into healthcare can improve health and can improve the performance of healthcare systems.
And talk for a moment about genetic testing and some of the big trends in it becoming more affordable. What are some of the other big trends in it?
Yes. Well, you know, there's a few key policy topics related to genetics that I would love to share with you today. One being optimization of the healthcare workforce. The second being value-based care. And the third being interoperability and improvement of the electronic health record system, which I'm sure folks listening right now can say, amen, we need some improvements there. So excited to talk to you about those three today.
And talk about those three. What are some of the things you're seeing with those three?
Yes. Well, optimization of workforce. You know, like many healthcare providers, there's a shortage of healthcare providers out there, and especially for genetic counselors. And as we're seeing with the expansion of telehealth services, we could really leverage genetic counselors in providing those services to patients who need help understanding their test results and next steps with genetics. And unfortunately, state licensures really creates an unnecessary barrier for providing telehealth services to the best level across state lines to more patients. And so by being able to provide genetic counseling to patients that might not live in the same state that the genetic counselor is licensed can improve access to their services. And I think we're seeing that with a lot of healthcare providers today. The other area of the workforce that I think we could be improving use of for genetics is pharmacists. So pharmacists during the pandemic have been allowed to order and administer COVID tests. And I think that's important because there's actually this genetic test that I've learned about as I joined Invitae called pharmacogenomics. Are you aware of what that is, Scott?
You know, I am not, but that's why you're the guest on the podcast, not me.
Yes, well, let me give you a quick high level, and I'll just claim this with, I'm not an expert, but I want to just boil it down to basically the genetic makeup of a patient or a person. Can impact the way their body metabolizes medications. And about 99% of the population has at least one variant that is actionable for their healthcare. And this has been tied to reduction in emergency department visits, inpatient utilization, as well as cost per patient. And I think that's significant for, you know, the guests listening today as we're looking at higher costs of healthcare and figuring out how do we improve the performance of our healthcare systems. And now leveraging pharmacists, this is information that really they should have when they're dispensing medication. Is this prescription that the patient on, is it going to interact poorly with their genetic makeup and not allow them to metabolize the medication at a normal rate? Or are they going to metabolize the medication at a higher rate or a lower rate? And this is really important for adverse drug events as well. So really arming pharmacists with that information is really important for our healthcare system, especially for the health of our population. So what else can we be dealing with allowing pharmacists to order this type of test and expanding their scope to do so?
In talk about taking a step forward, the great expansion in genetic testing, everybody's still trying to figure out exactly how it fits into healthcare and so forth, but moving in the right direction. Talk for a moment about your PhD and what that's in and what that feels like and the effort there.
Yes, I am so excited to say that I finished my PhD this summer. Despite the pandemic, I was able to push through and I finished a PhD in health services. And, you know, obviously I started my PhD many years ago and I quickly realized when I joined in the healthcare leadership space, really there needed to be some change to be really successful at improving the performance of healthcare and importantly, improving the health of populations. And this really stems from wanting to make an impact on the triple aim, access, quality, and cost. And to me, it was obvious that a leadership approach really needed to blend the traditional sense of public health concepts and traditional healthcare administration. It just wasn't working, you know, continuing to view healthcare as status quo from a leadership practice standpoint. And so I started to dive into that a little bit more and found a practice called managerial epidemiology. And what this is, if you think about epidemiology from a clinical sense, it's really leveraging those epidemiology tools, principles, practices in the traditional healthcare management functions. What it boils down to is evidence-based management. We do evidence-based medicine, but what about evidence-based management? And so my study really goes into that. The term and the practice of managerial epidemiology was coined almost 40 years ago. And literature had said that it's variably adopted. Literature has said that it should be taught in curriculums of healthcare administrators, but it's inconsistently. But one thing that was not in the literature was what do current healthcare leaders and administrators think? And how do they use this practice? So I really wanted to dive into the perspectives of current workforce, current leaders out there about this practice, and that's what I did. And what I want to share with you today, Scott, is my study did not only find that this practice is critical, it validated the adoption of this practice is variable, but it also showed that it's beneficial to provide objectivity to decision-making and healthcare leaders. And it supports transformation towards value-based care and population health. And I think the key thing that I want to share with you today is that I was able to develop a framework, an actionable framework for healthcare leaders that they can be using right now to improve adoption. And honestly, it felt like a missing gap in healthcare for so long. And with this pandemic, we're seeing this type of practice being used. You know, we're seeing, you know, a lot of graphics on trends of COVID-19, on PPE, on supply and demand of, you know, space in hospitals, you know, inpatient, outpatient. You know, we're rapidly trying to move non-essential services out of hospitals. That's what this practice could have been doing all along. We could have been using this practice before the pandemic to prepare, during the pandemic, and now after the pandemic, we should be evaluating how do we implement this practice so we can better improve the performance of our health system, whether we're in a pandemic or not. And I think that's really important to explore.
Well, Chantel, fantastic thoughts. Fantastic thoughts on big trends in genetics and looking to see just more widespread use at a lower cost, improving pharmacogenomics and so forth, the way people process their medicines and so forth, what works, what doesn't. And then also, congratulations on your PhD. What an amazing accomplishment. Chantel Schemming, thrilled to have you visit us with us today on the Becker Healthcare Podcast. Just a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me, Scott. I really appreciate your time today.